I'm Corinne Bailey-Ray, and you're listening to my new podcast, The Heart Speaks in Whispers. The heart speaks in whispers. On the heart speaks in whispers. In this series, I'm taking you on a journey through the themes and personal experiences that came together to form the songs on my record, The Heart Speaks in Whispers. Nature, the body, intuition and the subconscious, the healing power of music and the value of being present. In the last episode, we looked at how if we spend our lives rushing around from one thing to another, we can forfeit our health. And why it's so important to take the time to stop and listen to what our bodies are trying to tell us. But what happens when we stop completely, when we finally allow ourselves to fall asleep and dream? That's what we're going to explore throughout this episode, the power of our dreams and our subconscious minds. Dreams have been really useful in my life. I feel like when I've been through my hardest times, dreams have been a way of explaining to myself what's actually going on inside. When you go through events that are very shocking and they happen quickly, like in the case of losing friends or family, dreams can really help to inform you of what is happening. They can help you unravel the sort of mystery of what's going on. And when I was writing this album, I had a series of really sort of strong dreams. One of them in particular became a song, and the song was The Skies Will Break. In this dream, I saw a person, I can't remember if they're male or female, but they were at the start of a race, but everyone else had already run off. It somehow had been a false start and they were alone and they had missed their chance. And they were sort of running in this really slow way, but they were filled with sort of hopelessness and sorrow and shame, and there was these tears sort of running down the person's face, and I felt like I was next to the person and I was trying to sort of encourage them. And when I woke up from the dream, I just wrote down loads and loads of lines, and loads of the lines I'd written were you know, the skies will break for you, the skies will break for you, the waves will part for you, it won't be long until it ends. I felt like I was writing this piece of music to encourage this person, and it is years later that when I'm singing that song, I realize that that song was a kind of message for me, that it's a way of my subconscious, I guess, kind of encouraging me and helping me to carry on and helping me to believe that things could be different and that change was possible and that transformation was inevitable. It's these sort of experiences that really fascinate me and make me think about the power of the subconscious mind and what happens when we dream and where our dreams come from and how they can transform us. I wrote a song for the album called Taken by Dreams, and it's a song that when I sing it, I feel really empowered. It says, I'm like a laser beam cutting through everything. I'm in my fantasy. I can do anything. Taken by dreams. I really liked that image of how in your dreams you can do anything, but that somehow, because you're dreaming it and because you're thinking it and because you're singing it, it makes it more real, it makes it more likely in real life. Move far and over land, it's too hard to see, it's too far ahead, so you hold my hand and we go to a place that only lovers know, and we go to a place that we discover. Some people say that they're able to control their dreams by using a technique called lucid dreaming. One famous example is that of director Christopher Nolan, who took his inspiration for the psychological thriller Inception from his own experience with lucid dreams. I spoke to Caroline McCready, who runs lucid dreaming and creativity workshops in London, to find out more.
So a lucid dream is any dream in which you know that you're dreaming. Normally we go about dreams as though they're real, and, you know, it doesn't occur to us that it's strange that a pig's flying past or we end up at school in our underwear. We just kind of go along with the dream. But with a lucid dream, on some level, you realise that you're dreaming, And so a low-level lucid dream might be that you're in a nightmare and you know on some level that you want to wake up. And so a kind of higher-level lucid dream might be where you realise that you're dreaming and then you start to realise that you can start to influence the dream and ask questions to the dream. And a really high-level lucid dream can feel almost as real as waking. It becomes super vivid, super lucid, super real. So that's when you can really have a lot of fun.
How would you describe the sensation of finding yourself in a lucid dream?
The most common experience is just sheer excitement. So one of the most common ways in which lucid dreams end in the beginning is people become so excited that they wake themselves up. So they just kind of pop out of the lucid dream. It's a really surreal kind of state of consciousness if you're not used to having it. So when people start having them for the first time, they find them really surreal, exciting, and quite surprising as well how almost real it can feel, like an incredibly advanced kind of artificial simulation.
Was there a particular point in your life where you found that you were a lucid dreamer? Was there anything sort of going on in your life at the time? Or have you, since being a child, always had these kind of dreams?
I did used to have spontaneous lucid dreams when I was a kid. I remember the first one was I dreamt that I was playing pool with my cousin. And suddenly, I can't remember why, but I became aware that it was a dream. And I was just fascinated by the fact that the balls were still kind of clinking and I was touching them and they were smooth and hard and I felt the felt on the pool table and it was just amazing that it was a dream to me. I just was so enamoured with this environment and the fact that I was conscious within a dream. And then I started to realise in future dreams that I could do really fun things like get Superman to take me flying and that kind of thing. They kind of died down completely after being a teenager. When I was in my kind of late 20s, I started having really vivid dreams again. And I really wanted to do something with them, to talk about them or, you know, find a group where I could see what the significance of them was. And I ended up in a group where the woman who was running the kind of dream interpretation group, she had worked for someone called Stephen LaBerge. And he was one of the first people to prove lucid dreaming scientifically. So she told me that there are all of these techniques and things that you can do in waking that help you to have lucid dreams at night, and also told me all kinds of cool stuff that you can do in your dreams.
What were the things that they talked to you about in which you can change what you do in waking life to affect your dream life?
Well, one of the most important things in waking is to make sure that you write your dreams down every morning. So the more you write your dreams down, the more likely you are to remember them, the more vivid the memories are. And also just during your day, several times a day at least, just look around yourself and think to yourself, am I awake or am I dreaming? So maybe try doing that now if you're listening. Just look around yourself and think, am I awake or am I dreaming? And really question it. Don't just take for granted that you're awake. Look around and see if anything's changing around you. Notice if anything is kind of dreamlike or strange. If you make that into a habit where every day you're questioning several times a day, are you awake, are you dreaming, then you'll do that in a dream at some point.
The idea of are you awake or are you dreaming is this really poignant thing to me, because I remember going through this experience early on when I lost Jason, where I felt like I was in so much shock with the experience that I would be thinking that, and I would be saying that out loud. I'd be saying, is this a dream? Or even sort of, please be a dream. I feel like my dream life became really vivid, and it was a way sometimes to sort of see him again, you know, to have conversations. And I wondered in your lucid dreams whether you found that they have taught you more about your actual waking life.
Absolutely. You know, we're so influenced by our subconscious and unconscious processes in waking. Dreams are incredibly healing, whether you become lucid or not. Dreams play an enormous role in, you know, processing things like the emotional trauma that you must have gone through and just our daily stresses as well. Dreams are incredibly important. And the title of your album and talking about how the heart speaks and whispers, you know, we do have all of this inner wisdom, but it speaks very quietly in our modern life of, you know, smartphones, computers, super fast internet, everything going a mile a minute. It's hard to hear that. And when you're in dreams, you're right in there. And those whispers of the heart are right there. We don't have to try as hard to hear them. They're speaking much more loudly in dreams.
I completely agree with that. I think that's such an interesting thing about life, that when we are asleep, that's when the chaos of the outside world is quiet and those whispers seem so loud to us. Do Do you think that people really, especially in our culture, understand lucid dreaming? Or do you think that people misunderstand it and maybe think of it as something a bit sort of wacky?
I think you get both reactions from people. A lot of people I talk to, I think they start to really see the kind of positive implications of it, and other people just think it's a bit mental.
Yeah.
especially, you know, our modern culture disregards dreams and dismisses dreams to a huge extent. And so if you buy into that kind of point of view, then you'd probably think that lucid dreaming is a bit of a waste of time as well. But there's so many different therapeutic potentials that haven't really been fully explored. One thing that has been quite explored scientifically is treating post-traumatic stress through dreaming. That's had very positive results. And they also showed that regular lucid dreamers tend to be less depressed and less stressed. And so that suggests that by interacting with dreams in this conscious way can have a really positive ripple effect in that sense. And also talking about hypnotic suggestion. So much like a hypnotherapist, once you're in a hypnotic state, plants positive suggestions, which then ripple into your waking kind of awareness, affecting patterns of behavior, addictions, patterns of thinking. You can plant positive suggestions within a lucid dream, and then that has this ripple effect into your waking awareness.
Yeah, I've never really thought about the implications for people with trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder. I imagine you mean sort of revisiting the site of the trauma and imagining a different outcome. Would that be part of that process?
That can be part of the process, but also it can happen more indirectly. So trauma can end up manifesting symbolically in a dream. So a lot of nightmares are what Carl Jung, the psychologist, would term the shadow. Fears, phobias, traumas, but also parts of ourselves that we've kind of rejected and denied, disowned. So, you know, if a big scary monster is chasing after you in a dream, and it's not just children that have these kind of dreams, it's, you know, adults as well, then if you become lucid within a dream and you stop running and you turn around and you say to the monster, what do you represent? The most important part of this is once you get the answer, or even if you don't get an answer, is to send it love, acceptance, and you can even give it a hug and see what happens. And what will happen 99% of the time is it will completely transform.
I've definitely heard of people waking up and thinking, you know, what did that mean? But the idea of being able to be in the dream and actively being able to engage with the thing that you're afraid of in the dream is really fascinating and so much full of potential.
Yeah, there's an interesting case of this where this guy I know, he always seemed quite kind of underconfident, and one of these people that always seemed to be carrying a bit of sadness. And one day I saw him and he just seemed to have transformed. He was standing taller, broader, seemed to have more energy, was more confident. And he shared that he'd had this shadow dream where he shouted to the dream, show me my shadow. So he actually called out one of these nightmare aspects. And this big kind of monstrous dude rocks up. And, you know, he's horrifying and really scary. And this is typical of a kind of a part of ourselves that we've denied, disowned. And he chose to just hug him and love him. And he was, you know, hoping that he would instantly transform. But it didn't happen straight away. And this shadow figure is kind of almost clawing at his back. But he persisted and he just hugged him and loved him and loved him. And as he did this, this big, scary guy started shrinking and shrinking until he became this little boy. He woke up from the dream and he just felt like something had changed. He didn't know what he'd shifted, what he'd integrated, what he'd healed, but he knew that something big had happened, and you could kind of see it in him. It just changed so much about his demeanor.
One thing that really strikes me is the sort of empowering nature of lucid dreaming and how we have the tools inside ourselves to heal ourselves, that, you know, for some of us that we have been through trauma or loss or a very difficult childhood. It's such an empowering message to know that the things that we need are really inside ourselves.
Yeah, there's so much potential. You know, you were saying that a lot of your creativity and creative inspiration has come from dreams. And one thing that's really interesting when you're in a lucid dream is you can start to really ask and invite that inspiration to come. So you might want to shout to a dream, show me the best song I could write. Or if you're an artist, show me the best painting I can paint. A lot of, you know, historically, creative inspiration has come from dreams. Like the Beatles yesterday apparently came fully formed to Paul McCartney in a dream. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein came from a dream. Periodic table came in a dream. Einstein's theory of relativity came in a dream. And the guy who figured out the structure of benzene, he'd been grappling with it for ages and ages. He just couldn't figure out how to work out this structure of benzene. And then he had this dream about a snake eating its own tail. And so then he woke up and he realized, aha, benzene is a circular molecule, not a linear molecule. So, you know, there's all of these epoch-changing things that have come through dreams. And when you become lucid, you can start to really call out for that and invite that within the dream.
From speaking to Caroline and from my own experiences, I really believe that dreams are a rich source of inner wisdom, a vault of creativity, and a way that our heart speaks to us.
Got to listen.